Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? We just finished watching the August 10th edition of Monday Night Raw, and it's time for us to gather here for the Monday Night Tradition on Mega Powers Radio, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show on Mega Powers Radio. If this is your first time tuning in, we call ourselves the most interactive post-Raw experience available for a reason, because we invite you, the listener, to participate in many ways throughout the show, but I'll tell you about those in just a moment. First, I want to tell you a number of ways you can support the show. Number one way you could do that is by going to Patreon at patreon.com/megapowersradio, finding us on there where you can donate as little as $1 a month if you want to help us keep the lights on here at Mega Powers Radio Studio, so we can keep bringing you cool shows like this one, the All Talk Show, Daceman Show, and all the other cool programming on there. You could also support us by joining us every single Monday night live here at Mega Powers Radio after Raw, or by subscribing to us on one of our many, many, many ways you can listen to us in the archive form. You can do it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, TuneIn Radio, and you can find links to all these easily by going to smartoutmoment.com. While you're listening to us there, give us a rating, a review. Those help us climb the charts, help other people find us. It's a really good way to help the show grow. And, of course, invite all your friends to listen as well. As I said, if you want to get involved in tonight's show at any point, you could do so in a number of ways. The most fun way to do that is via our phone lines. If you'd like to get on there, get yourself in queue by dialing area code 760-512-7247. Already got a couple people there waiting patiently. Ask y'all to hold on just a while. We usually open up phone lines around 11:30. If you want to get yourself heard, though, the sooner you call in, the sooner you will get on. So go ahead and dial and get yourself in line. If you're shy, you can also tweet to us by tweeting to us at Raw Post Show. We got the chat room open on Blog Talk Radio. Shout out to Wazili and Chaotic. Only people here getting here early. Thanks for getting here, guys. And we also have our Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Just search on there for The Mega Maniacs and you'll find us on there. In the meantime, we're going to get the show started with the panelists tonight. Voice you've been hearing so far is me. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio and host of the Raw Post Show. My guest this evening, first off, is Mr. Drew White. What's shaking, Drew?
Who is not the Monday Night Delight as usual, but I'm doing good. How about you, Mr. P?
Not tonight, man. You're being downgraded a little bit.
It's okay.
It's only because I don't understand what's going on with your Skype picture here. You're throwing me off. But I do understand what's going on with Mr. Wago here. He is supporting the free pancake hat movement. What's up, Mr. Wago? What's good with pancake hats?
Man, free pancake hat. The hashtag movement is just shaping my Facebook page right now.
Taking the world by storm. I'm absolutely shocked it hasn't trended worldwide yet.
It's getting there. I mean, it's always good to be in the head of a movement before it gets going, too.
It's really big in Japan, from what I hear. Seems like something that would be big in Japan anyway. As I said, folks, join us by all those means throughout tonight. Tell us what you think about the show, but I want to start the conversation with the host by asking them, what was the number one thing you took from the show tonight? Drew, why don't you start us off with that?
The main thing I took away was that Ryback is still the man. And, you know, this happened the last time he was out for a couple months back last year. He was gone, comes back, gets a great response from the crowd. But, you know, it was only a few weeks this time. But, man, he's one of the most over guys in the company, and I'm happy for him. Hopefully they keep the belt on him and, they, you know, his past absence doesn't derail him because, man, he's the fucking guy. That's for damn sure.
We'll talk more in depth about that segment for sure. Wago, what's the one thing you took away tonight?
Oddly enough, the same thing is true. I was really pumped for Ryback's return. He knocked it out of the park tonight. But just to be a little different, I'll say Stephen Amell actually not doing a half-bad job as far as a celebrity goes.
It was an impressive, impressive showing. I got to say, the way he leapt over that guardrail, up onto the apron, and then over the ropes in three swift leaps, like all in one motion. It was great. Very great showing. Reminded me very much of Mayweather when he did his first appearance, when he leapt over the guardrail like that. And Mayweather is like a solid foot.
He's short, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, he's got to be a lot short. I mean, Stephen Amell, that guy is one of the most athletic dudes you'll see around.
Man, I tell you what, he dwarfed Neville tonight.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. He had a solid head over him. It was crazy.
Yeah, you had Stephen Amell, Triple H, and all those beefy security dudes. Yeah, Neville was like tiny.
Yeah, Jonah looked at me and go, "You've stood next to Neville before. Is he really that short?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's one of the few guys that are shorter than me."
Oh, you have stood next to him? I didn't know that.
Well, guys, we're getting awfully close to SummerSlam. Our main event for SummerSlam is Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar, the rematch from WrestleMania last year where the streak ended. However, both of these guys are part-timers and did not feel like tonight was a necessary show for them to attend. So the main story to push is the one for our WWE World Heavyweight title. However, John Cena is currently out nursing a broken nose that he received in the main event of last week's Raw. So they really kind of got hodgepodge trying to throw something together for Seth Rollins to do to kind of promote the title match. And I got to say, I don't think it was too bad. He came out at the beginning of the show calling out John Cena saying, "Oh, why aren't you here? Oh, wait, no, we got him here via satellite." And they did one of their cheesy things where they like cut the mouth out of a picture and had the person's mouth talk. And Seth Rollins said some weird stuff. I don't even write down any of it. It was all like really childish. Then we started having people come out. We had Cesaro come out first. We had Kevin Owens come out, and then Randy Orton came out, and on and on and on and on and on. They kept coming. No, okay. Last person to come out was Triple H, who said that there would be a triple threat between all those guys there, and the winner would face Seth Rollins in the main event tonight for the WWE World Heavyweight title. Interesting setup. Definitely got the show set up for the evening, which is the point of these first segments. So I can't really complain too much as far as that is concerned. Wago, after you saw this segment, were you interested in staying tuned for the show?
It was a very different start to the show that we had just this impromptu feud as a place for... Well, I suppose it was an impromptu. They had the whole Randy Orton and Sheamus fitted into there too, but... it seemed thrown together, but it was fun. But to be quite honest, I'd rather watch this than John Cena and Seth Rollins trading insults backwards and forwards each week. To be quite honest, we saw that during the Survivor Series feud. So this was refreshing, and they did a great job, I think, setting up the main event tonight. And we got a lot of solid in-ring work because of it.
Drew, these three guys got featured with Seth Rollins there at a time where they maybe would not have. I mean, these guys were, for the most part, more recently being featured with the U.S. title situation. Do you think it was good for these guys to be there? And if, as Triple H says, there's a possibility that John Cena may not be available to be at SummerSlam, do you think that they could fill that spot?
I think he'll be there at SummerSlam. I think they're just saying that just to say it. But honestly... yeah, I think one of them could. Necessarily, I was vouching for the idea of a Fatal 4-Way of some sorts with a two-fall type of match for the four, because it looked like there was going to be a very booked card in a way, but I think it's very possible for them to slot someone else in there if they have to, and when it comes to if it's good that they were with Seth Rollins and all of them, it's always good to be with the WWE champion in the ring. You're getting the biggest spotlight, essentially, on the whole show, other than the fact that The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar were not there, like you mentioned. So, yeah, there no bad can come from that unless they just fire you for no reason at all. So, yeah, it's all good in the hood.
Well, we had our triple threat match later on in the show. Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton versus Cesaro. the number one contendership for that title in the main event on the line, and these guys really brought it during this match. They were all over the outside of the ring. They had this really cool spot where both of them got suplexed onto the guardrail. In the end, it was a double RKO, Randy Orton winning the match, getting his title opportunity later on in the main event. Wago, did the right guy win this match?
Yes, because I think Randy Orton's been looking considerably weaker recently. I think he's a guy that is still over, so you need to keep him strong. And they had him beat Cesaro, which I think is the correct move, because Kevin Owens is still a guy I think you need to protect. I think Kevin Owens has a lot of stock in him. And as long as you book him smart, where the only way he's losing is by DQs or him walking out or somebody else getting in the fall, you can protect him. Randy Orton definitely was the right guy tonight. You know he can deliver with Seth Rollins. We've seen it before. So it played perfectly well into Sheamus's Money in the Bank briefcase, too. I don't think they've put enough attention on the fact that he holds that contract. So that just added some fire to their feud, which I think was seriously lacking before.
There you go. And you know, I almost like completely forgot when Sheamus came out that they were even having a feud. And I was just like, oh, he's coming out to cash in. Oh, that's right. He does have personal beef with Randy Orton, too. Completely left my mind when they're in that moment. But Drew, do you feel one of these other guys should have won this match?
Not necessarily. I know the internet community probably would have rather seen Cesaro or Kevin Owens win. But no, I had no issue with Randy Orton. And honestly, to me, it made the most sense because honestly, he's the better man out of all of them. He's a multi-time champion, so I understood why they went with that direction. I wouldn't have been upset if they had Cesaro win, but I'm completely fine with Orton winning because what they set up later tonight made a lot of sense. And, you know, Stephen mentioned the Money in the Bank situation as well. They haven't put enough spotlight on that. And, you know, not that I forgot about Sheamus, but I like the idea of every once in a while, you know, they kind of throw out the idea he might cash in right now, which they haven't done enough of since he's got the title. He's been on the back pages, and they need to bring him up more as the coming months ensue. So completely fine with what happened.
And that leads us up to our main event, Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins for the WWE World Heavyweight title. Again, two of the best that they have in the company right now, Seth Rollins and Randy Orton. Maybe not always appreciated, but those guys can go out there and really bust their humps. And I thought they brought it tonight. Not their 100% A game, but a good match for Raw. Unfortunately, we didn't get the full finish of this, even though we got a beautiful RKO. Even though we saw the same spot happen with, what was that guy's name?
Was it Morrison?
No.
No, I would expect Morrison to do that, so.
No. But a Punk? He was interrupted by Sheamus, came out, pulled Orton, attacked him a bit, threw him over the guardrail, made a tease that he was going to cash in his Money in the Bank, had it in the referee's hands, but he was kind of delaying for a while, and it almost was getting a little awkward. They were standing there. It was almost like maybe he was having second thoughts, or I don't know what was going on. But then Randy Orton comes from behind, attacks him, lays him out with an RKO, and Sheamus will not be cashing in that Money in the Bank tonight. You got to believe that he had Seth Rollins dead to rights after Seth Rollins was laying there after that vicious RKO. And I believe he also hit him with a bro kick as well. So that title was as good as Sheamus's tonight. That certainly would have shaken things up going into SummerSlam. I was on the edge of my seat. Drew, I don't know where you were feeling during this main event, but did this raise the excitement level for you as you saw Sheamus coming out?
Yeah, because the crowd really bought into the idea of Sheamus possibly cashing in, and that really helped the situation as a whole. So as soon as I saw Sheamus out there, I was like, oh, cash in. Most likely Orton will avoid it and attack him, but still, it was interesting. It made you want to see a possible cash-in possibility because, really, you know, one Money in the Bank a year really is not much of what we've been used to, and it's still we are trying to get used to this one idea. You know, the two, you always used to see one at, like, a pay-per-view, one on Raw sort of idea. You don't really see the Money in the Bank briefcase as much as you used to, so I really enjoyed it. The only issue I had with the match as a whole was Rollins would have got pinned, and this is just another example of him looking really weak as a champion. So other than that, fine. Main event was perfect. I really enjoyed it.
Wago, did you think that Sheamus should have taken this?
No, I don't think Sheamus should ever actually hold the WWE title. With that
Well, he
said,
already
I'm,
did.
well, again,
You don't think he should, is what you said.
yeah, he's, they've actually done a good job building him back up, and I don't have this horrible dislike as Tony does right now. But with that said, he's still not ready to be the top guy. What they did tonight was perfect. You've got to keep in the back of fans' mind that that briefcase can be used at any point, and these little reminders help with that. And they had a hot crowd tonight, which was different from some of their others, so it was the perfect time to do it. They ate babyfaces up, and they love the whole babyface versus heel dynamic, which we don't get with too many cities now. So when till they ate this entire segment up, and it was done very well. As far as people saying that Seth Rollins is looking a little too weak, I think it's okay to have a champion like this on occasion. Let us not forget The Miz, who looked weak against guys like Jerry Lawler, but the re regardless of that, it was the amount of heat that he was drawing which mattered.
I really think the big issue with that whole thing is because it's Seth Rollins, and I think people look at him and they want him to be a stronger champion of sorts, mainly because he's one of the best people they have in the company on the mic,
I
in the
do
ring, and all
think
that stuff.
they can claim a little guilt for booking him to be a little weak, but in their defense, I do think they've been making strides to rehab that as of late. He's been having some kick-ass in-ring matches, and he's been getting some fairly clean victories.
Well, yeah, he had that awesome match with Neville, so I think they're doing right by him. And I think certain guys who get this spot not only need a help just in character-wise, like from having a big cast, but a guy like Seth Rollins has only got so many tools. So all these overbooked matches, I think, benefit him a lot.
And we've seen
Penis joke.
We got a comment in the chat room I want to pull here from Wazili saying, "My favorite part of the show was Summer Rae giving Lana the accolade and Rusev doing his arm thing after the flag where his picture is on it drops." Bit of a run-on sentence, but I totally get what you're saying. That was a really funny part. As a matter of fact, Dane Quinn tweets to us at Raw Post Show, and that it's just a picture of Rusev with the flag behind him, of a picture of Rusev on the flag. Went ahead and favorited that. Thank you very much, Dane Quinn, for sending that to us. I'm going to open up the phone lines next. So we want to know what you guys thought about what they did with Seth Rollins, thought about Stephen Amell, or anything else that went down on Raw tonight. I thought it was a pretty fun episode, but we want to hear what you guys got to say about it. So we're going to take our first caller from the 646. I believe this is our friend Aisha. Aisha, is that you there?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
What's shaking, Aisha? We're all doing good. Fun to gather here on Monday, as always. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. And, well, I guess it was average. At least she got some build and some matches for SummerSlam. And by looking at the SummerSlam card, it's like, I don't know.
Really? You're not
Like, I'm
excited,
glad I
like,
got. Yeah.
for Undertaker and Brock Lesnar again? And you don't think they're gonna have like a really cool brawl?
I mean, I would. I say it's been having great build, but it's just like, I don't want to see the match again after I saw what WrestleMania, because like you see something that bad, you never want to see it again. So that's what I feel about with Lesnar and Taker, but I'll still watch though.
Well, it's
So
always
I'm glad
still
I
a
got
big
my
show.
NXT tickets, so.
And, you know, to be fair, WrestleMania this year had an abysmal build, and nobody thought that card was going to be any good. And WrestleMania ended up being one of the
Oh,
best
true.
WrestleManias of all time. You know, by opinion, some people don't necessarily agree with that. But, you know, the Raw tonight, it had its ups and downs. I think it had some really good wrestling on it. I think there was a lot of fun moments. It had some build for SummerSlam. And to be fair, they're working with a lot of tools that are working without a lot of tools, I should say. Undertaker and Brock Lesnar aren't there. John Cena's out with a broken nose. So they really had to work with a limp leg tonight. And I think with that, they did a very good job. Seth Rollins, I think especially, did some really cool things. What did you think about Seth Rollins' deals that he did tonight?
I mean, the segment in the beginning, I'm just like, this is so stupid. I mean, this is your world champion and he's acting so childish. Like, really? I mean, I don't know what Rollins. I wouldn't be surprised if Cena took the title away from him. at SummerSlam because he's been booked badly as a champion. I mean, I don't know, but I think the only thing about the good thing about his reign is he's been pulling off good matches, but overall, from his character and everything, this has been bad.
Do you think it's possible to save it?
I mean,
do you think if they turned him into a good guy, like a babyface, do you think he could pull that off as a champion?
Yeah. I think he will work well as a face because this whole thing is just not working. Like he's too good to be just like running away from people. Like, I just don't really like him how he's been booked as of late. Like, I think it's time to change, you know, for Rollins for the better.
That seems to be a popular opinion. A lot of people are not liking the way Seth Rollins has been booked. I definitely think they've been making attempts to fix it, but it's still a popular opinion that's out there. And if this is a guy that they want to push as the face of the company right now, they're going to have to create a better popular opinion about it. What'd you think about Stephen Amell's appearance tonight? Are you a Green Arrow fan, and did this pique your interest?
I don't watch Arrow, so I'm not familiar with the dude, but he looks cool jumping through the barricade into the ring, and I'll be looking forward to him with fighting with teaming up with Neville and fighting Stardust and Wade Barrett.
Big surprise that being a tag match, but that should definitely be fun. We had a couple other matches announced for SummerSlam tonight. We had our Divas match made, our tag team title match made. Are either of these matches looking good for you? I mean, I know you said you weren't too excited, so I'm guessing either of these are looking fun for you.
Of course. My girl Sasha is going to be playing.
Yes.
Awesome. I know she got two matches in a row. Oh, my God. I'll be looking forward to that. The tag match should be insane. The triple threat, I'm not excited about that. I mean, good to see Ryback back, but I don't want to see the triple threat. This show needs to retire. Miz, I can't stand him with freaking ugly ass face on TV. So I can't stand him, Miz.
Well, at least he's mostly covering that ugly ass face with those sunglasses and whatever that thing around his head is.
I guess. Just him being. I just can't stand him. On top of that. Oh, God. What's that talking about, man? But the SummerSlam card, like, to me, it just seems like. It's just the card is like. This is like, I don't know, this seems like an okay card. It doesn't seem like a SummerSlam card, you know?
It's underwhelming because they want to treat it like a WrestleMania in the summer. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that a lot of people aren't there right now, and Ryback is just getting back there, who's one of your champions. John Cena's your United States champion. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been there, but he's also just involved in the world title feud. The tag team champions haven't done diddly in weeks besides be on commentary and wear ugly jackets. Your main event guys, Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, haven't been there. So I think that has a lot to do with that. And hopefully on the flip side, this will be something we look back on. It's like, that sucked. But SummerSlam was a really cool show. Holy crap. But we'll have to see.
And what I'm clear about, after SummerSlam, you know how WWE goes into the fall.
It's all downhill until Survivor Series.
Oh, boy.
All right, Isha, your high point and low point for tonight's Raw.
High point, definitely Cesaro. Glad to see him getting that push, you know. I'm calling him now. He's going to be world champion by next year.
We can only hope.
And we hope. And low point, King Barrett. Go away.
No. Oh. All right, Isha. Always a fun call. You have a good night.
Okay, you too, guys.
All right, dudes. Next, let's start talking about the Divas as we were talking on there. We had Team Bad versus Team Bella, 6 Divas tag, along with the other team, who is now going by the name Team PCB. I'll say that again. That's Team PCB. That stands for Paige, Charlotte, Becky.
I bet there's a porn site out there with that name.
PCP. Team PCP. Yeah. What?
Well, the word lame comes to mind.
Yeah, you could have done anything besides that.
What happened to the sorority? What is it? The submission sorority? Is that what they went with?
The sorority sisters. Why didn't they just do that?
No, there was a report that came out that there was a porn site named after that.
Well, there was a submission sorority. But they just do sorority sisters. Why not? Or no, Paige kept telling JBL, saying JBL called them the freak show.
Yeah.
Better than PCB.
That's actually not that very good of a name when you think about it. Like, I mean, even Team Bad, that's nothing special, but at least they gave it, it's more than just our first names combined. It doesn't even make it like a word at all. That's the thing that bothers me the most about it.
The more and more we get into this whole gang warfare thing, the less and less I like it. I would have rather all these women just had an opportunity to stand up on their own and separated themselves from the herd.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem. These NXT girls are simply known as the NXT women. Sure, they're promoting that Charlotte's the daughter of Ric Flair, but other than that, what is she? No, like Sasha Banks got a great gimmick, but we barely see that. So these girls, and I'm sure they'll get their opportunity eventually, but my issue is the hype for it's now. So if you're going to separate these girls and make them something special, now's the time to do it.
Well, I'm wondering if this was just in those put together, so you have a chance to expose them for SummerSlam, your big show, introduce them, hey, here's all these girls, this is what our division's going to be for the next number of months, and whatever thing's going to happen here at SummerSlam, that's going to develop what our story is going forward. That's what I'm hoping to happen with that. As far as tonight, we had Team Bad versus Team Bella, as I said, with Team PCB on commentary. Very blah match. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. Tamina goes for a super kick on Brie Bella, who ducks, rolls her up for a pin, surprise roll-up pin, and then all nine divas brawl, and okay. We finally get announced that we're going to be having Team Bad versus Team Bella versus Team PCB at SummerSlam in a nine divas elimination tag match. Okay. So I don't really know how that works exactly. I have some ideas in my head, but first let me ask you guys some things about tonight. Wago, the showing by these ladies, you said that things haven't been good so far. This was supposedly the first time we saw all of the members of these two teams face each other. Were you impressed?
It wasn't a bad match, but it definitely didn't do anything to make me go, wow, Divas Revolution. So I'm just not a fan of what they're doing with these women in general. This didn't help tonight. As far as the nine Diva tag match, what they're doing, all I'm going to say is clusterfuck.
Drew, what are you expecting to happen at SummerSlam with these nine Divas?
I expect Team PCB to win, and then for me to complain once again about how they're the only team that wins every match. Even tonight on Raw, after everything that happened, after the brawl, they were the ones left standing in the ring. So
you're not wrong.
It just bugs me that like this is like supposed to be this gang warfare, but there's only one team that is dominating, and I'm gonna say this every week if I have to, because it annoys me that like this whole idea of like just this Divas Revolution, and there's not really a revolution, it's more of a one sided ass whooping if you really think about it. It's just really annoying to watch. And yes, the wrestling is good, but that's what I'd expected that. I wanted a good story line out of this, and I'm really not getting anything other than, oh yeah, hey, I'm supposed to like this because, you know, they tell me to because these guys are good. I want something that will make me want to watch. And right now I'm going back to like Drew of like earlier this year, where I don't really enjoy watching these, or I'm not looking forward to it because there's not much for me to look forward to, and it's kind of depressing if you really think about it.
You know who I'm getting noticed like a bit of improvement from? Is Tamina.
You know what? She kicked some ass tonight.
She really
like,
did.
Even though she was only in the ring for like 30 seconds, but still, I was like, God, that like she did a clothesline or something along those lines. I was hoping she'd get the pinfall.
She spoke a little bit during that little box interview bit too.
Yeah.
Like, she's starting to show herself a bit more.
Here's the thing. I've never thought Tamina was a bad hand. I thought she was actually one of the better wrestlers they had as far as the women goes. She's just fucking hideous to look at.
Not even that. She, like, for her size, she was just, like, automatically, like, yeah, you're supposed to be this high flyer because you're Snuka's daughter or whatnot. But Tony, she could be this badass enforcer type of thing, like the Brock Lesnar of the Divas division if they really wanted to. I honestly could buy her beating Charlotte out of all these people.
Oh, dude, she could destroy Charlotte.
Yeah. Now, if Ronda Rousey came, I doubt that, but she could definitely, out of all, if
she would be the best heel against Ronda Rousey.
Very true. If out of all the women on the roster, she'd be the one I would want to get.
Did you see some of the women that Ronda Rousey fight?
Oh, yeah.
They're freaking hideous.
You know who would have been a very awesome opponent to put her against if she was still in the company? Kama.
Kama? Yeah. Kama Mustafa?
Kama.
Yeah, that'd work too, but fucking awesome Kong, that would have been an interesting scenario.
Against Rousey?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's got money written all over it.
Like, you could have sold a pay-per-view on that.
Do you think that they would bring her back if they were to get Rousey just for that?
I think they have their eye on her. When the timing is right, I think they'd be willing to bring her back in.
They're waiting for her to fatten back up.
Not even that, they're just waiting for TNA to die so they can just get her back.
She back in TNA?
Yeah, she's over there.
Yeah.
Oh, she's been there. Damn it.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, she's going to get that stink all over her. And then, of course, when she goes back, the first thing I do is put her back against Gail Kim. Like, oh, let's see if this works again.
Very true.
Nope. all right. Well, we're going to go ahead and bring on another caller. This caller is coming in from the 609 area code. 609, who's there?
It's Chanel. What's up, guys?
What's shaking, Chanel? How you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm having a good day.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing to hear, Chanel. What'd you think about Raw tonight?
Say again.
What'd you think about Raw tonight?
Oh, I thought Raw was very good tonight. It was very entertaining. A lot of good in-ring work, and I'm excited for SummerSlam.
Well, SummerSlam is definitely getting into a big show with all that they're bringing onto there. What match are you looking forward to the most?
If they put this match on, I'm going to be very excited. Kevin Owens versus Cesaro. I think that's a match that should be on. If it's on there, I'm going to be very excited for it.
Right now, they're two guys without a match. So you got to hope that on a four-hour show that they can find some time for those two guys. They've been putting a lot of hustle, and they had a lot of involvement in that three-way that we had tonight looking so good, even though Randy Orton got the victory.
It looked really good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What match do you know on the card so far are you least looking forward to, though?
That's a tough one. I'm probably the Intercontinental Championship match. Mm.
It's just been going on for so long. You're just kind of like fatigued on it.
Yeah. I'm just kind of over it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not excited for it, and it's kind of disappointing. Ryback deserves better.
Well, we were just talking about the Divas situation. They got the three teams going against each other in an elimination match. Varied opinions on the Divas thing right now. What's going on there? Where are you on? Are you excited for what they're doing? Do you think that all these Divas are looking really cool, or are you a little bit more on the fence, or how are you feeling?
I mean, the match was expected. The nine-way match was expected. And they could show off Team PRB. I mean, what? PCB?
PBR?
Is that the name?
Yeah, PCB.
Yeah, I think the fighters in UFC got caught using TRT.
Yeah. I mean, they could show PCB off a little more and show off, Becky's and Charlotte's personality a little bit more. Because I don't see much personality in them. And they should show it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Becky Lynch is just the chick in goggles. Charlotte is just the chick that woos. And Paige is the only one that talks, and it's fucking annoying.
It is.
How about the tag teams? They finally got a match announced. They're having a four-way match for the titles: Lucha Dragons, Matadores, New Day, and Primetime Players. What you thinking about that?
Darren Young sucks.
All right, that's good input. No, that's a perfectly good opinion to have about this match. I am good with that. Stephen Amell finally made his appearance on Raw. Are you an Arrow fan? Did this get you excited?
I don't watch Arrow, but I know his work, and he's very good, and he's very athletic. I'm actually interested in the match. But it kind of sucks that King Barrett, you know, got squashed by Neville, though, easily. That was disappointing.
Yeah, he really looks like big competition going into SummerSlam. They could have just as easily had Stardust come out and, like, throw him off the top rope when he was going for the Red Arrow. It's just as easily.
Right.
Bunch of putzes.
True. All
right, Chanel, your high point, your low point for tonight's Raw?
My high point was the triple threat match between Owen, Cesaro, and Orton. That was fantastic. A lot of great spots. And my low point, the New Day thing. I like the New Day a lot, but, I mean, it's been underwhelming and disappointing. I mean, but the dancing was very funny, though.
It was. And they had that new chant tonight. I wish I could remember how exactly it went, but it was pretty fun. I wanted to start singing along, and just as I was learning it, they stopped it. Yeah.
Right there with you, man.
All right, Chanel, you have a good night, man. We'll talk to you again another week.
All right, thanks.
All right, another fun caller here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We invite all of you listening to join us in all the various ways that we have available. We have the phone lines opened up for you to call in at any time. Dial in 760-512-7247. The chat room is open on web, Blog Talk Radio. Register with Blog Talk Radio and you can get yourself in there. Tweet to us at Raw Post Show. We got one in here coming in from Dane Quinn at Raw Post Show. I agree. Tamina could be a monster heel like Beth, Awesome Kong, etc. Yeah, he's definitely on board with that idea there. And, of course, the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs, you can search for us in there. We're going to move the conversation back to us here on the panel for a moment. We had a tag team match tonight, The New Day against Los Matadores, a basic tag match. We get a short little glimpse of the Primetime Players watching backstage, where Darren Young is wearing this hideous used car salesman jacket and glasses and holding a clipboard. Didn't really know what the deal with that was. Biggest standout of this match, I gotta say, is Diego getting the hot tag and just being a ball of fire, going all these crazy flips all over the place. This was a guy who felt like he wanted to make himself noticed tonight, and you know what? For me, he did it. Good job, Diego. I don't remember which one you are, but damn, Diego. Good job. Unfortunately, though, it's not enough to get the victory. New Day gets it after this really cool big ending type finish where, well, Big E goes for the big ending, but then Kofi Kingston also jumps off the top rope and does like a DDT. Pretty neat. New Day picks up the victory and starts doing this crazy dance after the match. After the going backstage, they run up with Renee Young, who informs them that for SummerSlam, it's been made official. The Primetime Players will defend their titles against New Day, Lucha Dragons, and Los Matadores in a four-way tag match. Very interesting indeed. Wago, were you as impressed with Los Matadores showing tonight?
Well, as this match begun, I really wasn't paying too much attention, but they caught my eye, definitely. As soon as he got that hot tag and he was flying all over the place, I'm like, oh yeah, Primo and Epico can actually do things. That gimmick actually sometimes shrouds the fact that they're actually a part of a very prestigious wrestling family, at least in Puerto Rico.
They freaking put like their relative in the Hall of Fame last year, and they did nothing really with that.
So they're definitely a great tag team as far as wrestling ability goes. I wish they'd dropped this stupid gimmick, though. It was fun when it initially happened, but it's run its course. As far as the whole tag team division goes, it still feels like it's a bunch of jobbers brawling for two bronze coins, so I'm really not interested.
It's not even gold coins.
Yeah, it's not even that.
Wow. Drew, did New Day impress you enough that you think they should have gotten a solo match against primetime players, or is this Fatal 4-Way the way to go?
If going by, you know, what WWE wants me to think, yeah, no, you know, every team has picked up a win against each other, so not really. I understand what they're doing with the Fatal 4-Way nonsense, but honestly, when they were doing the backstage segment, I thought that they might have threw a fifth team in there because Xavier was just like, oh, what, why would you have fifth team now? And Renee, what, and I was just hoping Renee's like, yeah.
The Ascension, right? Yeah. I couldn't believe they included the Ascension in there.
Yeah. Well, they haven't been really doing much with this feud for the past month, but the main thing I took away from was that the finishing spot with the beginning with the DDT thing that Kofi did. Mm-hmm. The camera, just like the terrible camera angle for that, because you didn't even see Kofi on the rope. You just see him jumping out of nowhere.
Oh my god, dude, all the time on moves now. Are you kidding me? I can't stand what they do on moves where they like zoom the camera in and like they get super close and do shaky cam. Like, it's freaking terrible.
I know.
God, you know, people talk about not waiting until Vince dies. I cannot wait until Kevin Dunn dies. Wago, get on this, please.
Well, fortunately, when Vince McMahon dies, Kevin Dunn won't be lasting too much longer there either, because I'm pretty sure Triple H will kick his fucking ass to the curb.
Well, I don't want to wait for Vince McMahon to die. Can you take care of Kevin Dunn for me?
I can see if I can find some.
Can't you use your powers for good for once?
you mean Jerry Lawler wasn't good?
No.
All right. I'll try and take out the beaver tooth motherfucker.
Finally.
The thing with the thing with Big E though tonight, like, he was licking his hands in that backstage for like the interview the entire time, and it was so damn weird. Big E's been really weird lately, and I like it. From his like weird shake dance.
He's always been weird. What are you talking about?
He's been
at him.
Okay, you cannot say his weird ass shape, his damn package is the reason why he's weird. Okay, he's like a bodybuilder. I had to explain to my nephew why he was so big. I was like, he just works out a lot, man. I can't do anything about that.
The issue with Big E and why he looks so weird is it looks like somebody took someone else's face and put it on Big E's body.
If Big E was a little taller, I think I'd help him, but he's just. So
he needs a different face. I don't know what you do to make that guy look like a legitimate tough guy. If you shave his head, that might work. But then you've still got to figure out what to do with his fucking face.
If you shave his head, he's got more of a baby face. Maybe if you put a mask on him. Didn't he used to wrestle with a mask?
I'm not sure, but that might be the only answer to actually making him not look like a goofball.
Yeah, put a mask on him.
Maybe you could get Seth Rollins to like break his nose or something like that. Get like a big ass scar on him.
Speaking of masks, and since we're talking about the Matadores and all this stuff, this is a good time to bring up the fact that I spent some time this weekend and I went back and watched Ultima Lucha, which was the big special event finale for Lucha Underground. And I have to tell y'all, this was a absolute kick-ass show. If you have not been keeping up with Lucha Underground, or even if you have and just been spottily watching episodes, because I could not say I've watched every episode. In fact, I've maybe watched 3 or maybe 4 episodes total throughout the whole season. But this finale was just amazing. Every match kicked lots of ass. Everything you could have wanted was on there. You know, you had some pretty women, you had some gothy, weird voodoo shit, you had tag teams, you had heavyweights, you had hardcore. There was just all types of cool things going on there. You even had some star power with Alberto Del Rio and John Morrison, or Johnny Mundo, as he's known there. Did you guys catch this?
No. But you posted a video, I believe it was you posted the video of the guy jumping off that room into the ring, and that was incredible.
That's Angelico. He is nuts. And you know what? That wasn't even from that night, actually. That was from a previous show. That night, though, there was a guy, Aerostar. He climbs up to, like, the third floor and leaps straight down onto some dudes, which might have been more insane because he was so high. I couldn't freaking believe it. It's amazing what they do when they don't have those, sponsors to worry about.
I didn't catch the show. It's definitely on my to-watch list. But all I can say about Lucha Underground is every time that I've watched the product, I've never turned it off and gone, oh, that was fucking dumb, or that was a waste of my time. They have very limited resources. They have a very limited time to put an episode up, but it's amazing. Every time they knock it out of the park, it is the only alternative to WWE out there. Like, I don't think people get it when we say a real alternative. Everything else is WWE light.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only product that does it differently.
This pay-per-view, though, I can't really call it a pay-per-view because it was on regular TV. The special event is must-watch. Like, even if you don't go and watch the entire season, if you watch nothing else, watch this. And it's going to be a two-part thing. They separated over 2 weeks. They did a one-hour thing 1 week and then a two-hour special the next week. But watch all 3 hours. Well worth it. And the reason I transitioned into that and I was talking about masks is because there's so many cool masks there. And it makes me realize how lame WWE masks are. Like, even their cooler masks, like Sin Cara's, it looks so damn stupid. Like, go to Lucha Underground's and look at Drago's masks or Pentagon's masks. They're freaking badass.
And I forgot who they had, but there was a guy that actually left Lucha Underground because of a retirement storyline, or it was like a loser leaves town match,
mm-hmm.
and he had the coolest mask ever. I forgot who it was, though.
Mask. I can't remember. I don't want to spoil it, but let me just say, like, Lucha Underground is so different because it's a lot more story-based, and it's allowed to be a lot more fantasy-based. And at the very beginning of this special, you know what makes it different is that they actually kill the guy. They kill the guy. They didn't fire him to write him off. They didn't, like, you know, just silently escort him or just, you know, silently never mentioning him. They killed a guy on the show. I couldn't believe that.
Better get Cliff Clefin on that case.
Oh, well, God. Shit. No, shit's definitely going down. Like, I can't spoil anything. You need to watch this show. It was very addicting. The only sad thing is that this was a finale and a second season is not 100% confirmed.
That's a damn shame. I haven't watched very much Lucha Underground, but, you know, the reaction I guess I've seen from other people, it's someone should pick them up. I don't know what, but I would not be surprised if someone else in some capacity as he does, you know, Destination America. I know they're going with this, like, American.
Well, here's the thing. I think the El Rey Network's going to pick them up, and apparently they're in negotiations. The El Rey Network wants to have them.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is that Lucha Underground needs more money to,
mm-hmm.
Expand or get any bigger, and that's understandable. The more popular you get, the more expense you have.
And they have a much higher production value than anything else you watch out there. As I said, these backstage vignettes are like movie scenes. They're incredible.
The issue I have with them getting a deal with that network again is because I know, Steven, you get the El Rey Network, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very small percentage of cables and DirecTV operators.
It's actually not that bad, but it's still just it's a high up there channel.
Yeah.
It's not anything with notoriety, and they don't have a budget, and that's the problem.
I think it's a channel that a lot of people actually have, but that it's a channel that a lot of people don't know they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually a much better channel than Destination America, I think, but nobody's watching it because it doesn't have any, because it's not owned by Discovery.
I wonder I know we have a Black Entertainment. Is there something for the Hispanic community out there that's mainstream? No,
that's what it's trying to corner.
Yeah, it's okay. Pretty much what the El Rey Network is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard rumors of them possibly getting a deal with Netflix, whether that's to stream the first season or maybe even finance the second season and stream that exclusively or in cohesion with El Rey. I've also heard possibility of them getting on Univision, which if that happens, dude, Lucha Underground is going to be huge. There'll be legitimate competition to WWE at that point.
Even if they get on Netflix, that's something that even WWE can't say they were able to do. So,
well, they got documentaries and stuff on there.
Very, very true. But the idea of a wrestling show streaming—I don't know about streaming—but at least put on there for on-demand services.
I think WWE could very easily get one on there if they want. The thing is, they have the WWE Network.
That is very true.
Indeed. We talked enough about not Raw tonight. Reminding everyone out there, if you want to talk about it, go ahead and call in area code 760-512-7247. Tweet to us at Raw Post Show. Drop it in the chat room or the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Bringing it back to us here, guys, we had our continuation of the Harper family versus the X-Shield family. I guess they're talking a lot about families, even though there's really no family for Dean Ambrose or Roman Reigns. Be one thing if it was Roman Reigns and The Rock. Matter of fact, why didn't they do that? That would have made a lot more sense. Anyway, Luke Harper versus Dean Ambrose is our match tonight. Pretty blah match. It got exciting towards the end, actually. We got a neat little preview of what the tag match might actually be like with lots of involvement from Wyatt and Reigns. I don't really have too much to say about it besides that. Wago, are you looking forward to this tag match? Do you think that this has been built the right way, or is it underwhelming?
It depends what the end game is, really. I think it's been an underwhelming build, but if it's just to split Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns up, which I think it's going to be, then I'm okay with it. And maybe that is jumping to a conclusion that's not realistic, but they have not been doing much with Dean Ambrose, and it seems like they've been trying to make these guys really buddy-buddy for the last couple months.
They're giving fist bumps. Yeah, double fist bumps.
They on tonight's show, Roman pretty much said, you're trying to say I'm your only real friend that you've ever had. Yeah. Well, that could end up being just another layer to whatever this feud's going to be, because I don't see any money in Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt feuding, and I don't see any real benefits. So Dean Ambrose versus Roman Reigns, though, could be awesome. Now, personally, I like rooting for Dean Ambrose as a babyface, and I prefer Roman Reigns to be the villain out of the two of them, but I'll take it.
Yeah, they can always reverse the roles on a later date. These guys ain't going anywhere.
Well, yeah, they're probably going to swap that role two or three times in the next 10 years.
Swap your role and do the match.
Reference I don't get.
Rock.
Yeah, one of the most popular catchphrases in all of wrestling. And that's the bottom rhymes.
Oh.
I think the biggest thing I took away from was that Roman Reigns likes his coffee ice cold.
Was that a sign?
No. Like, no. No, they did that backstage segment where they were like where he mentioned the that he was his only friend. He's like, how do I like my water? Room temperature. And they were doing that.
The best part about that is Dean Ambrose talking about friendship. Yeah, he's having a friend that'll go out and steal cars with you.
That was incredible.
I love his character. That's part of the reason that I don't want him to be a heel, because I enjoy his humor.
They don't do the craziest part of him as much as they used to, mainly because he hasn't had as much
TV time. I think that's something that they'll bring out more when he gets into a heel character. They'll drop more of the clever, lovable funniness from him, and they'll go more into the darker side.
Very true. But I thought it was... They need to give him more character than what he has. But I've really been enjoying Dean lately, so looking forward to what he does in the future.
So we got to have a Miz TV segment, the second greatest wrestling talk show of all time. He first calls out Stephen Amell in the audience, telling him that, you know, after he gets beaten up by Stardust, that he should call him. You know, he could teach him a thing or two about acting. That was a fun little interaction with the celebrity outside. The guest tonight on Miz TV, Daniel Bryan. Woo! Happy to see him back on Raw. But Sean... really regretting letting that guy go. Or was it you who let him go, Drew? I don't remember now. I think it was you, actually, wasn't it?
I don't want him getting injured again. What are you talking about?
Sucks to be you, nerd.
You know, the thing about that is, he released that book. They really haven't been promoting that at all. And I thought he would have been on Raw more just to be like, yeah, I have this book. You should go buy it.
I feel like that book has been everywhere. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I actually have that book coming to me. Jonna got it for me for our anniversary.
I thought that he would be on Raw more to promote it, but oh well, I'm not going to complain about it. Less points for you.
Well, apparently he's not really having much to say, because he only came out and he plugged the book, and then Big Show came out, and then Ryback came out and hit both the bad guys with meat hook clotheslines, and then him and Daniel Bryan celebrating the ring with Yes Chance.
The only thing I could really complain about this segment, and I know Daniel Bryan just came back, so he was in there in Seattle, so he was going to get a good reaction no matter what. But, man, Ryback was getting an amazing Phoebe Moore chant. And then Daniel Bryan just starts yesing, and then, you know, I'm supposed to forget about that meat hook, clothesline stuff. No, 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 no. Ryback's the big guy. This is about him. Bryan, stop doing your stupid yes chants. Let the man get over with the crowd, okay? God damn.
Well, hang on. To be fair, Daniel Bryan started getting the meat hook clothesline chants going too. He stopped doing the yes. Mm-hmm. And I think this is actually the perfect thing you do with Ryback. You bring him back in a big way. And who's the most over guy in the company? Well, not necessarily the most over guy in the company, but who gets the loudest crowd reaction? Daniel Bryan. They're friends in real life. It's documented. And you can tell when they're in the ring together, they're always having fun. So I thought this was a great way for Ryback to have a huge comeback and breathe some life into a feud that's otherwise been on standby and put on life support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am so burnt out on this feud, honestly. Even like this big return from Ryback, I'm still just like, oh, God, please just let this match happen and let this be over with.
It's hard to give heat to a feud when it's two heels that are trying to do the heavy lifting. Dude, it's not impossible, but Miz and The Big Show haven't been doing too good of a job with it.
Miz has been the best part of it, and the faces he makes whenever he's stirring trouble with people. He did it again tonight when he was standing outside of the ring waiting for Ryback and Big Show to fight.
Yeah, it was awesome. The Miz is a fun character, very underrated hand because people still give him that reality show stigma, but I think he's one of the best things going in WWE.
All right, guys, we got one last thing to talk about here. Neville versus King Barrett. Neville beats him with a red arrow, celebrates. That's it. We're going home, guys. Oh, wait, no. Stardust comes out, attacks Neville, and notices that a certain someone is at ringside that he's been having some beef with lately. That's the Arrow, Stephen Amell. He goes over, gets in his face, shoves his face, and Stephen Amell ain't just going to take that. He jumps over the guardrail, up onto the ring apron, over the ropes, and like one swift motion going through all those things. It was a sight of beauty. Gets in there, tackles down Stardust. They get separated. It's this whole big thing with security trying to separate them. We go to commercial. We come back. Stardust is in the back with Neville and Triple H begging him to make this match. Finally, Triple H agrees. He says, all right, well, you're going to have to sign some waivers with the lawyers, but we'll make the match for SummerSlam. So that's basically meaning this is going to be like one of those non-sanctioned deals, which means it's probably going to be no holds barred. Or it might be a street fight. Whichever kind it's going to be. It's going to be interesting match, you know, having a celebrity in there, and we're gonna have a tag match, so I'm assuming that's because they don't want Stephen Amell to carry the brunt of the match. It's just weird that they would pick Barrett. I mean, like, seems like why not Goldust or like, I don't know, Sandow.
Here's the thing, you've got two guys in this match who are very talented but not given enough opportunity. Stardust and Barrett, and I think both guys deserve it. They bust their ass hard. They're constantly delivering with good matches. So for them to get the celebrity match this year, fan-fucking-tastic, and good for them. As far as the booking of tonight goes, Stephen Amell did very well on his part, other than the worked punches. They weren't Donald Trump bad by any means, where he was tapping at Vince's head. But they could have been better tonight. Honestly, I think they shouldn't have celebrities do work punches outside of Mike Tyson or Floyd Mayweather.
That's what I say, Floyd Mayweather, dude.
That's just another reason not to have people do it. He fucking breaks people's noses. They should have just had him like tag Stardust with a clothesline and have Stardust take the powder. It would have worked out a lot better.
What?
Oh, sorry. Take the powder means to bail out the ring.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Drew, I think you're an Arrow fan, right? What did you think about Stephen Amell appearing on Raw tonight?
You know, this has been people have been talking about this for a while. He appeared a while back. Not much was made of it, but, you know, a lot of people didn't think that he would actually be wrestling in a match. And, you know, now he is, so I'm really looking forward to it. And he won't be, we know he won't be doing too much. Most celebrities, they'll just get a random hot tag, do some random move, and they'll end up getting the pin.
But I actually think he's capable of doing a lot more. And that's the thing. He's a super athletic dude.
Yeah, and you know, he hopped the way he got to the ring. He did like a hop over the barricade and then like hopped into the ring, which was amazing.
Oh my god, dude! What if Stephen Amell does a red arrow?
That's what I was thinking. If
he's not doing a red arrow,
dude,
I
bet you he could totally do a red arrow. I bet you he's been practicing a red arrow.
Nah, dude. Neville's a freak of nature. Like the amount.
So is Stephen Amell.
He's not Neville level. Neville level.
Neville level 77.
Nah, there's no way he pulls that off. A shooting star press at the most, but I think they should give him the hot tag.
Oh, of course he's getting the hot tag.
Like, just have him have the hot tag, clean house.
And it has to be, because freaking Neville's the smaller guy.
Let him take the crossroads or whatever he's called. Is it Dark Matter now that he calls
it? No, he's calling it the Queen's Crossbow now.
Okay. So have him kick out of that and then go to the finish. It'll be awesome.
I think this has a potential to be a very good match at SummerSlam. Everyone in there is going to be working.
You know
I think
what?
Stephen Amell.
He'll probably finish him with the Stephen Amell will probably finish Stardust with the Queen's Crossbow, because he gave it that name, so it means he can finish him with it. That makes sense.
You know what I see happening? I see him taking out Rhodes without ever move and setting him up for the Red Arrow, and Neville getting the pin, and that way Neville gets the rub.
Do you think he's going to come out as Green Arrow or as Stephen Amell?
He's dressing up. There's no way he isn't. Like, the feud's centered around that. If he doesn't come out as the Green Arrow, or even if they don't announce him as the Green Arrow, if they don't dress him up, I'm going
to
be upset.
There's got to be some kind of, like, deal that they would have to work with Warner Brothers. Because even Triple H said tonight, he said it would be the Green Arrow and Neville teaming against Stardust and Barrett.
Well, just think about it. They're getting free promotion for their television show, so CW, I'm sure, wouldn't care.
Very true. The only injustice with this feud is that you have three superhero-like characters, like comic book style, and then there's Wade Barrett.
He's a king. He's a king in a world, in a country where there's no kings. I think he pretty much fits the bill for weird.
Yeah, he's definitely like an evil villain type character.
Especially with the voice he fucking uses.
Yeah, indeed.
Like, I'd love for him to tell Stephen Amell that he's got some bad news. It'd be perfect catchphrase, like, to use against a hero.
This is very 80s,
mm-hmm.
And I love it.
I love it, too. It's so cheesy that it's perfect. You've got the fucking mini dude that can spin through the air and lift people up with amazing strength. You've got the Green Arrow. You've got whatever the fuck Stardust is and an evil king.
And Cody has been nailing it. Mm-hmm. Like, he is so right to see this through. Like,
yeah, to anyone
that's
been
in him.
To anyone that's been fucking shitting on him for not turning like into a gimmick which like represents his dad more, fuck you. He's hitting it out the park and he's got an amazing opportunity.
I don't think there's any better way to say what went down tonight. Hopefully we'll get to see Stephen Amell at least one more time on Raw before this happens. I have a feeling we won't, but we will see him at SummerSlam. So that will be interesting, because I think this has potential to be one of the better celebrity involvements of all time. And that's very rarely you get to go into a celebrity thing with that type of optimism.
Yeah, I still think the best one they've done to date is Mayweather and Big Show. I don't think it'll top that, but it'll be up there. Yeah,
but no one had that optimism going into it.
No, I didn't think that at all. Then hats off to Mayweather. He's had better WrestleMania matches than plenty of top guys.
Man. This is all it took was Mayweather to turn heel and be himself. That's all it took.
Shame his fight with Pacquiao wasn't half as good.
That's not even that. Not even a fourth as good. That's the sad part.
You know what's really a shame is that WB is perfectly fine letting out Stephen Amell to go do a match, but Dana White's terrified about letting Ronda Rousey do one.
I think it's more to do with the fact that, one, he doesn't want to blur the lines, because you know how he feels about the fake shit, as he says. And the other thing is, if Ronda gets injured taking a bump, that's his meal ticket on the shelf.
Like, he's not worried about her getting injured going into the octagon?
That's her job, and he's got to deal with that regardless. That's how she makes money. But if she takes a bump and fucking puts her back out or tears her ACL, she's fucked for 12 bumps.
But how is that different than possibly going to a movie and doing a shoot just for a movie? You always get injured doing that.
Less territory and probably a lot more money involved.
No, he's just being petty because it's competition.
And you know what? He's right to do it.
Yeah, I don't blame him for it. Just as a wrestling fan, that just sucks for me. That's all it is.
Personally, I think he makes more money if he on Ronda if he lets her go out there, because she's been getting mad media attention. So any more that she gets is only going to benefit him.
Yeah, those meteors, they've been coming right for her. Falling right out of the sky in her general direction.
I'm sure she'll take him out in a couple seconds.
Yeah, there's one bad bitch.
Don't let her hear you call her that.
I would love for Ronda Rousey to beat up all those chicks in that new Ghostbusters movie.
When is that coming out?
Hopefully never.
Okay, that's good.
All right, guys, I think we can start wrapping things up here. I again flaked and I didn't get a favorite commercial this week. I again was busy doing things. Whenever I saw them go to a commercial, I had to run and take care of business. But I do have a Who Said It. So tell me, guys, who said it? I wasn't finished laughing.
Sheamus.
It was Sheamus. Actually, a fun little character moment there. I forget what the hell he even said. Something about like oh, what the fuck did he say?
I don't know, but his laugh was obnoxious.
It was so obnoxious, and I couldn't even understand what the fuck he said. It was something about like some cartoon or something.
He was doing like this weird high pitched laugh that didn't match his voice, and I think it was Eden interviewing him. Mm-hmm. Was it?
No.
And she just stares at him, and he's like, wasn't done laughing.
Somebody, but it was talking about the Goonies or something.
The Goonies.
Like that.
Yeah, that was it. The Goonies.
He made some fucking random ass reference.
Yeah, something about Seinfeld or something. Yeah, that was a weird moment. All right, well, with that, we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. We talk about the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most god-awful, must-avoid part of the show. It is the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you want to drop your good, bad, and the ugly onto Twitter or into the chat room or anything else there, go ahead and do that. In the meantime, we're going to check out what the host got. Drew, what's your good, bad, and ugly?
My good for tonight? Well, definitely had to be the big guy right back doing whatever the big guy does. Look, glad he's back. Hopefully he takes his momentum forward with him. My bad tonight, well, it will just have to be the Diva segment in general, mainly because it just wasn't anything good. And my ugly will definitely be that there was no Brock Lesnar and no Lesnar. I just fucking said it. No,
I hate it when there's no Brock Lesnar and Lesnar.
Yeah, it's one thing when there's no Brock Lesnar, but when there's no Lesnar too, that's some bullshit. You know,
a few weeks ago, we were like so excited because like these two just like had that all out brawl, and since then, neither of them have been together at the same time. And
well, that's what they're advertising for next week. Didn't you see that little like
graphic?
You want them at the beginning of the month to hype the pay-per-view to set the match up, and then you want them at the end of the month just to build it up again.
Yeah, Drew.
I know, but I always leave them
wanting more.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and then you bitch, true. And then you bitch when it's oversaturated.
Yeah, there's no fine in between, I suppose. But one thing we didn't talk about that I would also throw in as a good is Rusev in front of the Bulgarian flag.
Oh, shit. Incredible. I did completely miss that segment. Well, I guess there isn't much more to say about it than that. Rusev had a flag with Rusev on it. Fuck. That was fucking awesome. Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
Well, the flag threw me off a little there, but I'm going to just go and give good to pro wrestling in general today. The actual in-ring work tonight, fantastic. We had a lot of good matches. The triple threat, Orton versus Seth, which wasn't their best, but not bad by any means. And, of course, the tag match delivered tonight a hell of a lot more than I think any of us would have guessed. As far as the bad goes, I'm going to give it to Team AD7, or whatever the fuck they're calling themselves. Yeah, they need to pick a name and stick with it, and they need to find a good name and stick with it. And the ugly, I have to give it to Stephen Amell's pit stains.
Ugh. Yeah, that's pretty ugly. Well, my good, bad, and ugly. My good is another thing we didn't really talk about, but again, there probably wasn't anything to say about it. But while I was watching it, I was glued to my television set, and that was the video package they had tonight for Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar, where they had all these really cool backstage interviews talking about the guys, talking about how like the Undertaker they see now is a very different and dark and angry and vengeful Undertaker, and it was really well done. I mean, I've praised this guy over and over again. They have the same guy in their video department who edits all this stuff, and he's just so top notch. And this was just another time he knocked it out of the park. The bad, I have to give it to the divas on commentary tonight. Team PCB was an absolute mess. Paige is just annoying as hell. Freaking Becky and Charlotte were useless. Wow. Worst part of that whole thing there. Honestly, I think it detracted so much from the match that probably would have been better without their presence there. And the ugly absolutely has to go to Darren Young's jacket. What the shit was that? Looks like he's getting ready for a science fair or something. With that, though, guys, we are all out of content to talk about for tonight's show, so we're going to take a few moments to give all the hosts here to tell you guys some other things going on in their world that you might enjoy checking out if you enjoyed this show tonight. So, Drew, what do you got to tell people about?
Well, you could go follow me on Twitter, at Drusev White, and go to my YouTube, which is Make Frickin' Duncan. And Tony isn't here, so I'll just say go to SmartGout Moment and FanboysAnonymous.com to see wrestling and nerd things alike.
There you go. And Wago, what do you got to tell the world about?
All right, so make sure you follow me at Stephen Wago. That is my Twitter account, and you will find out all my updates of what I've got going on, be it UDMMA, be it Wago Rants, be it Addicted to Anime, which is returning soon as we review Assassination Classroom, which is going to be a big anime yet, and I don't think it's really, like, it's going to catch on pretty soon and be a big thing. So make sure you check that out. And just go to StephenWago.com and you'll find any project that I'm associated with there.
So check all those things out. And if you enjoyed this show, make sure you're joining us every single Monday night as soon as Raw goes off the air by tuning your browser to www.megapowersradio.com for the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show. As I said, we're live every single Monday night, but if you cannot be here at that time, we do make the show nice and easily and accessible in archive form. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, YouTube, and pretty much everywhere podcasts can be found. And you can easily find links to all those by heading to smartoutmoment.com, where you'll find the Raw Post Show, Smack Talk, and lots of other cool wrestling content. If you enjoyed it, please also rate and review us on all those places, because that's a cool way for us to climb the charts and help other people find us. And if you really want to support us, the number one way you could do that is by finding us on Patreon at patreon.com/megapowersradio. As little as $1 and as much as $100 or $1,000, however much you feel like giving to us, you can support Mega Powers Radio. Help us running, bringing you all these awesome shows that you dig. And that's all I got to tell you guys about tonight. So I hope you dug the show. Hope you dug all the wrestling content that we brought to you with all the real WWE talk. You guys have a good night. For Drew White, for Stephen Wago, I'm Mike Payton. We'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.